Offering my humble pranams to the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the speaker for this evening, Sri K. Jayakumar. As part of the 3-day training program in human values for teachers from Kerala, this evening we will all listen to Sri K. Jayakumar, retired IAS officer, former chief secretary and vice chancellor of Malayalam University. He held office in the Indian Administrative Service for 34 years and served as a Chief Secretary, Government of Kerala till 2012. He has held various reputed government positions like District Collector, Kozhikode, Director and Secretary, Kerala Tourism, Director and Secretary, School Education, Joint Secretary in Ministry of Culture, Principal Secretary, Water Resource, Director of Nehru Memorial Museum and College, Vice Chancellor of Mahatma Gandhi University, and so on. Apart from all this, he has a holistic personality, being a poet, a lyricist, an author, and a painter. He has authored 30 books, written 400 songs in Malayalam, and held 8 art shows in Delhi, Mumbai, and Chennai. He will be speaking to us on the topic, Teacher as Guru and Guru as Teacher. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. My humble pranams to the radiant memory of our beloved Swami. Standing in Kulwant Hall and talk to you is a very exalted task as well as a difficult task. When Swami was here, it was difficult because whatever you say should receive his concurrence or acceptance. At the same time, it was a divine opportunity to speak in front of Swami, which I had the good fortune of talking in Kulwant Hall in the benevolent presence of our Swami maybe 3 times or 4 times. I remember when first I was called to speak in Swami's presence during an Onam festival, I must have drank 4 glasses of water because your throat goes dry all the time because you know Swami is listening. But if Swami doesn't listen, then that is also misfortune. So Swami listens to you and that makes you slightly, you know. Today, when I stand in Kulwant Hall, I am overwhelmed by a flood of memories, great memories of the times we have sat in Kulwant Hall and seen and enjoyed the benevolent presence of our Swami. I think Kulwant Hall is particularly lucky in the sense that this is the hall where we witness 2 sunrises a day. Ordinarily, we can witness only 1 sunrise in the morning and sunsets in the west. Whereas Kulwant Hall has witnessed 2 sunrises every day. In the morning, Bhagavan comes from there, first sunrise. In the evening, Swami comes again, his beaming presence appears there, and there you have the second sunrise. So this is the hall, probably the only one in the whole world, which has witnessed 1,000 sunrises, 2 sunrises every day. Now, when I stand before you to speak, I know we are all in the all-pervading, invisible presence of Bhagavan. Therefore, I am as careful to utter any word as Swami is sitting here on this chair. So speaking in Kulwant Hall is an emotional and spiritual challenge. In Kerala, I must have made hundreds of speeches. That seems to be part of my life. But when I stand in Kulwant Hall, none of those claims of having spoken, having made so many speeches, do not come to my rescue, because I know I am in the presence of Bhagavan. With these few introductory words, let me get into the topic. A topic which Brother Mukundan wanted me to speak on. He did not ask me to speak about this, but he asked me, what will I speak about? And probably in a very unguarded moment, I don't know, I said I'll talk in Kulwant Hall about teacher as guru and guru as teacher. I thought it is a wonderful topic when it sounded to me. But as I was preparing, or I was thinking about the topic, I was wondering what made me say this topic. It is a very complex one. Maybe it is again Swami's wish that I should train my mind in such topics. Though I have chosen this topic of teacher as guru and guru as teacher, I do not claim any special knowledge or any special expertise in this area. You are all experienced teachers sitting before me, particularly those who have come for this 3 days conference from Kerala. You are all experienced teachers doing this job every day, have been doing for several years, and must have turned out several students in your life. I am not a teacher. I started my career as a teacher and ended as a vice chancellor by default, if I may say so. My career was entirely on a different path. But then I had spent considerable years in the area of education, both school education and higher education, when I had umpteen opportunities to meet teachers, interact with teachers, both school teachers and university teachers. And then during the course of your interaction, during your experience with teachers and schools and colleges and universities, a lot of ideas, a lot of doubts, a lot of apprehensions, a lot of concerns cross your mind at several points of time. I'm sure whatever I am going to say here must have crossed your minds also several times. I am only trying to amplify whatever have floated through your minds as well as my mind. It is nothing new. I should not make any special claim that what I am going to say is something unheard of in the history of mankind. Nothing like that. These are all ordinary fears and ordinary thoughts which must have crossed our minds. I am only amplifying them. Yesterday from here, my illustrious friend, Vice Chancellor of the Central University of Kerala at Kasaragod, Dr. Gopakumar, spoke very eloquently and very lucidly about higher education and its challenges. He highlighted the three aspects of higher education, like access, equity and quality. I will not go into those, but I will only focus on the aspect of quality in the context of our subject. The more I say, the less bhajans. The less I speak, more bhajans. I know if I speak at 5:30, we can listen full half an hour for bhajans. Therefore, I am very conscious about time. So I'll focus on quality, which is an area where we have a long, long way to go. As far as equity is concerned, as far as access is concerned, I think your policies, your money, government's money, and your policies can come to our rescue, whereas no money can ensure quality. Quality of education can be ensured not by money, not by governments, but only by teachers. Teachers alone hold the golden key to ensure the quality of education. And therefore, role of the teacher in ensuring quality of education is paramount, indisputably paramount. When we talk about quality, what are the aspects or what are the contributing factors to quality? Infrastructure. Dr. Gopakumar highlighted about the infrastructural aspects, the career, the curriculum aspects and all those things. I should say that in ensuring quality, infrastructure might be playing 10% role. If you give out of 100, it is only 10 marks that could be given as a contributory factor for infrastructure. Infrastructure contributes 10% in ensuring quality. Your curriculum, the standard of curriculum, constant revision of curriculum, it again contributes 10% to the quality of education. Or to put it differently, even if you have the most wonderful curriculum in the world, it cannot guarantee quality of education. If you have the most wonderful infrastructure in your institution, it cannot guarantee the quality of education beyond 10%. And the quality of students, again 10%. So 30% we can somehow manage. But 70% towards the quality of education has to be contributed only by teachers and none else. The character, the concerns, and the commitment of the teacher form the golden key or the golden foundation for the quality of education. Nothing else but the character, concern, and commitment of the teacher forms the basis of quality, of ensuring quality in education. And that is where today's topic becomes relevant. Teacher as guru and guru as teacher. Let me take a few minutes into the topic. Some of you may not like what I am going to say, but some truths are not very palatable. Na satyam bruyat satyam apriyam. But what is this apriya satyam? All teachers are not gurus, but all gurus are teachers. Let me repeat. All teachers are not gurus, but all gurus are teachers. But I may also add, but all the teachers have within them a latent guru hiding in them. That is the whole idea of today's lecture. The greatest malady of our education is that most of our teachers have not realized that they are gurus. They continue to be teachers. Teachers is not a bad job. Of course, being a teacher is not a bad thing at all. It's a wonderful thing. But then you cannot stop there. That is what I say. The constant endeavor of a teacher should therefore be to go beyond the frontiers of being a teacher and strive constantly, consistently to become a guru to his disciple, to his student. And when I say that a teacher has to continuously strive to become a guru, what do I mean? What is the distinction between a teacher and a guru? I have attempted 5 differences. There could be 50. In your spare time, you can all attempt 50 differences between a teacher and a guru. Having grown up in the presence of a great guru, Loka Guru, Vishwa Guru, you are in a position, teachers of the Satya Sai institutions are in a greater position than me to list down the difference between a teacher and a guru. But I have listed only 5 of them. What is it? A teacher teaches. Very obvious. A teacher teaches, whereas a guru helps the student learn and flower himself or herself. A teacher teaches while a guru helps the student learn and flower himself or herself. 2, a teacher keeps on giving information about the subject he is teaching, whether it is botany or chemistry or management or medicine or whatever it is. Teacher keeps on, he collects a lot of information and passes on information to the student so that he can use it. Information is very important. After all, we are living in an age of information. Therefore, a teacher, good teachers, they collect as much information and passes it on to the student. A teacher gives on giving information, whereas a guru provides transformation. It is not information, but transformation that is what a guru wants. Information is secondary to the guru. And thirdly, a teacher continuously instructs. Do this, don't do this, do like this. This is the right way to do, instructs. A teacher, it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that it is a small thing. No, it's a very important thing. A teacher has to instruct while a guru guides. A guru is not instructing all the time. He guides. There is a difference between instruction and guidance. And fourthly, a teacher necessarily has to prepare a student for university examination or board examination, isn't it? If you are a wonderful teacher, but you are not preparing your teacher for the board examination or university examination, you are no good teacher. Therefore, a teacher has to continuously prepare the student for the examination coming up, while a guru empowers the student to face the larger examination of life. A guru empowers the student to face and succeed in the larger examination of life. Fifthly, a teacher continuously communicates to the student through his intellect. He collects information in his intellect and tries to pass it on to the student, who can store it in his intellect and use it for the examination. Whereas a guru continuously communicates from his heart to the heart of the student. It's a heart-to-heart communication. As I said, these are only 5 of them. You can discover 45 remaining differences or comparisons between a teacher and a guru. The key words in what I have said earlier in this are transformation, guidance, empowerment, heart-to-heart communication. These are the hallmarks of a guru. Transformation, guidance, empowerment, and heart-to-heart communication. I'm sure most of the teachers, some of the good teachers, occasionally, we also do these things. We also communicate heart-to-heart, but not always. Not in the classroom where there are 30 students sitting. It is not heart-to-heart communication because you have to cover the syllabus. You have to prepare for the examination. But a guru continuously transforms the child, the student, continuously guides him, continuously empowers him, and continuously communicates from his heart to the heart of the student. Like divinity, which is latent in every human being, which has to be discovered through development of human values. That is the whole idea of Swami's education in human values. There is no divinity elsewhere. Divinity is within us. Once you nurture your human values, your divinity manifests. Likewise, like divinity is latent in every human being, there is a guru latent in every teacher. It should only manifest. It should manifest. We should strive towards manifesting the guru who is latent in every teacher and convert. A teacher has to transform himself from a teacher to a guru. Look at the great gurus of the world. What have they done? They all guide, they all empower, they continuously transform and communicate. Look at Krishna, for example. In the Bhagavad Gita, the great teacher, the great guru. Look at Jesus, look at Swami. They all succeed in transforming hearts. You go near them, you are transformed. You are transformed. What happens when a great guru speaks? What is the difference? We are all talking in the classroom every day. But what happens when a guru speaks? When Buddha preached 2500 or 600 years ago, he preached to the ordinary people. He preached to the merchants. He preached to the kings, to the maharajas, to very eminent people in the world, in those world, in that time. What happened when Buddha preached compassion and non-violence? As if it is a miracle, the hearts melted. Kings just believed in what he said and threw everything and followed him. People just forgot all the differences of caste, creed and community and just followed him. A miracle happens when a great guru speaks. When Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, who was about to be stoned by the mad crowd, he prevented that and then said, go and sin no more. Only three words, go and sin no more. Mary Magdalene is transformed. Instantly, she is purified, she is sanctified. That is the magic, that is the power of the word of a saint, of a great guru. When Swami tells, love all, hate none, some strings in your hearts are pulled. You think, am I eligible for this? Am I entitled to this advice? Do I deserve it? Have I lived the way he wanted? Love all, not somebody, not your wife and children, not your boyfriend and girlfriend, no. Love all, no difference. Hate none. Not even the people who must have done greatest harm. When a guru like Swami says all and none, it means all and none, nothing else. Love all, hate none. You are transformed. A transformation begins in your heart. Gurus speak. This happens because gurus speak not superficially. Gurus speak from the depth of their being. Their whole personality, their whole being is involved in every word when a guru speaks. When a real guru speaks, it is his whole being that comes out in his word. It comes from the great harmony. This is because of the divine intensity of their words. There is a divine intensity in what they say. That is a great guru, Loga Guru, Vishwa Gurus. It comes from their words come, this conviction comes, the strength of the words come from the great harmony of their thought, their word and their deed. If your thought, your word and your deed are in harmony, then you acquire that kind of spiritual command. Your word cannot be ignored anymore. Why is it that our words are ignored? Because there is a disharmony between our word, our thought, and our deed. If you look very closely, We might say that, look, I am a very composed person. I'm not a hypocrite. Whatever I think, I say. Whatever I say, I do. We all say these things. But look closely, look clearly, analyze. There is great disharmony between our real thought, between our real deed, between our real act. Our word, deed and act, everything, there is a disharmony somewhere. Superficially, yes, we might say that, yes, I believe in what I say and I do what I believe and all those things. But it is only a great guru whose word, whose thought, whose deed, everything is harmonized. It is that divine harmony that brings about that conviction, that strength, that power in their word. That is why Mary Magdalene goes back and becomes so pure. That is why when Swami speaks to you, not only speaks, when he looks at you, something melts in your mind. You sit in this veranda when Swami used to walk and go to that room. He passes by you and looks at you, and you know something very bad has burned away in you. You cannot be bad again. One look is enough. That is the kind of the spiritual intensity that a guru acquires. Their words are so irrefutable because they arise from great values of satyam, dharmam, shanti and premam. I do not have the time to elaborate on all these. You know all these things from the concept of truth, righteousness, peace and love. These are not acquired qualities. It is inherent in a guru. It has to be like the fragrance of a flower. These values have to be inherent in a guru. It has to be imbued in a guru. Every teacher can be and should, can and should aspire to be a guru. That should be your aspiration. But what are the obstacles in achieving this aspiration? There are certain obstacles, otherwise all of us would become gurus, isn't it? It is not easy. We know that we have to aspire to become a guru. We are fascinated by gurus, but something is preventing us from aspiring, from reaching that level. That is human. That is human frailties are there. Firstly, it's a self-image of the teacher that has to undergo a radical change. You are not there to prepare the student only for examination and getting A grade for your student. That, of course, is important. But your self-image, who are you? Who are you? What is your relationship with the student? I think it has to undergo radical transformation. Do not listen to what others say, but your love to your student should redefine your relationship with the student. Your self-image has to undergo radical transformation. Your role perception also has to change. Your role is not to be in the college or in the institution from 9:30 to 3:30 or 4:30 and there ends. No, a teacher is not a part-time job. Teachers is not a part-time job, it's a lifelong job. Continuously, heart-to-heart communication with the student has to take place if you are a guru. Otherwise, you are a teacher. The concept of the student should also change. The student, I think every teacher has some kind of a prejudice towards certain children. That happens because his conduct is such that we also develop prejudices. That should never be so. Once you are a guru, there are no prejudices. Accept him for what he is. I think that belittles our ability to be a good teacher sometimes because our prejudices come in the way. We have prejudices. All of us have prejudices. Teachers have to change. Because how can they change? It is always the way we think that creates a change. So therefore, our thought process has to change. The world changes when our thought changes. Our thoughts and attitude should continuously be renewed. Do not compromise on quality and excellence. There are forces in our institutions which would say that do not try to excel. Nothing is possible. There are defeatistic elements telling you all the time that average is good enough. Never compromise on average. Never compromise on mediocrity. Be in love with excellence. Be in love with the superior quality in education. Discover the true worth of every student. Help him or her achieve his or her potential. Getting A plus for every student is not our aim. Our aim should be to help the student in front of you to realize his real potential, his or her real potential. To understand his or her real potential, first you will have to look at him or her with love and compassion. And understand he is different, she is different, but there is worth in him or her. What is that worth? Let me find out and nurture it, like a gardener. In earlier India, in earlier times, in ancient times, India had Gurukula Sampradaya. The Gurukula technique, where the student used to live with the teacher, with the guru, Gurukula. That gave a lot of opportunity for the guru to continuously watch the disciple, mend him, whenever, like mending a garden. When there are weeds, the gardener has the opportunity to weed it out, to pluck it out. Likewise, a guru and a student, when they live together, he continuously watches the child, the student, and keeps on tending him. When there are weeds or bad qualities appear as weeds, they are weeded out. Whereas in our, with the proximity of the guru, gave him an opportunity to continuously sort of shape the student. A bond developed between the student and the guru, a lifelong bond. He could instill values of truth, humility, love, patience and compassion in the student by continuous mentoring. Although our systems have changed and we are in modern schools and colleges, we cannot say that go back to Gurukulam and we will do this. There are a lot of issues involved if you try to do that in our modern world. So let us not try to go back to Gurukulam. But the values of Gurukula could also be, can be very well rediscovered. We can be a modern guru by continuously watching and guarding against his student being gripped by the negative qualities or the weeds. What are the weeds I am talking about? I'll stop at 5:30. Kama krodha moha lobha mada malsarya. Everybody knows this. Kama krodha moha lobha mada malsarya. Desire, anger, greed, delusion, pride and envy. These are all there. Have we been able to free our students from the grip of these negative values? I am afraid not. There is kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, malsarya in our campuses. A student who completes his education and comes out to society is in the grip of mada malsarya. He is in the grip of kama and krodha. Krodha is virodha. Out of krodha becomes virodha. He says he is my party, the other man is not my party. He belongs to my caste, the other fellow is not my caste. He comes from my community, he comes from another community. This kind of kama, krodha, moha, lobha, mada malsarya, have we been able to weed it out of the students of our institutions? Has modern education succeeded in making the student discover the greatness in him? I think most of the time it is the pettiness in him that finds a sort of influence on his life. If that be so, I think our business remains unfinished. As long as these qualities, these evil qualities have a grip on our students who complete, say, 3 years or 5 years or 7 years of education in a college, or 15, 20 years of education, and if the final product still has these impurities in him, I think the process of education has been only half done. The role of the teacher remains to be redefined. It is there that the teacher has to become a guru. It is because this has happened because a teacher has only remained as a teacher. Unless a teacher becomes a guru, these impurities cannot be tackled. Shankara, Adi Shankara, when he was a boy, he was caught by a crocodile while he was swimming, as everybody knows. I think it is a story. It's a symbolic story. What are these crocodiles? These crocodiles are kama, krodha, mada, malsarya, moha. All these things, all these evil qualities are the crocodiles which are available, which are swimming in the ocean of existence. That is why there is a favorite bhajan that we sing in Prashanti Mandiram. That is, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam, Dustara Bhavasagara Taranam. Dustara Bhavasagara Taranam. Dustara. Dustara means difficult to cross. Bhavasagara. The ocean of existence is difficult to cross. That is because in the ocean of existence there are crocodiles of desire and lust and moha and lobha and everything, krodha. All these crocodiles are prowling in this ocean of existence to sink you, to pull you down. And it is there we want to have Guru Charanam. We want to have the blessing of the Guru to cross this ocean of existence which is infested by the crocodiles of all these evil qualities of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, malsarya. Guru has to help us cross the ocean of existence by proper skilling, empowerment and purity of heart. With a commitment to satyam, dharmam, shanti and premam. That is what Sathya Sai, education on human values insists all the time. That is satyam, dharmam, shanti, premam and ahimsa. That is a hallmark of the quality of education. We started by saying we have to ensure quality of education. Quality of education can be judged if your student has these qualities of Satyam, Dharmam, Shanti, Premam and Ahimsa in him. The world requires such young people to make the world more sensitive, more peaceful, more tolerant, less violent and less divided. Are we living in a world which is less divided? Are we living in a world less violent? I think violence is increasing in this world. And who are doing this violence? Not illiterate people, but educated people. Educated people are still insensitive. They are not creating peace in the world. They are not being tolerant. They are more violent. They divide. If these are the attributes of an educated person, I think education is a failed god. It's a failed god. I quote Swami before I conclude, which I took from one of his speeches, talks. Education is a slow process, like the unfoldment of a flower. Education is a slow process like the unfoldment of a flower, the fragrance becoming deeper and more perceptible with the silent blossoming petal by petal of the entire flower. Silent blossoming petal by petal. A student in front of us, imagine his silent blossoming petal by petal. The unfolding will be helpful if the teacher is a fine example of discrimination, humility and keenness of intellect rather than a person engaged in the task of mere repetitive teaching and coaching for examination. I quote Swami, these are not my words, Swami's words. In short, if I may summarize what Swami has said, in short he says, the role of the teacher has to be that of a guru. Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. Let us pay obeisance to, pay homage to that charanam, of the charanam of that guru, to the lotus feet of that guru, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. That will help us, Dustara Bhavasagara Taranam. Let the great Lord bless us, cross this river of existence with confidence by his ceaseless grace and great confidence that he has bestowed on us and the great love he has bestowed on us. I wish you all the best and thank you for your patient listening. My pranams to Lord once again. Amen.
Gajanana. Shiva Shankara Parvati Nandana.
Kasturi Tilakam Narayanam.
Kasturi Tilakam Narayanam.
Kasturi Tilakam Narayanam.
Guru Vayur Pura Narayanam.
नारायणम्
मानस भजरे गुरु चरणम्
मानस भजरे गुरु चरणम्
मानस भजरे गुरु चरणम्
मानस भजरे गुरु चरणम्
दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
अति दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
गुरु महाराज गुरु जय जय
महाराज गुरु जय जय
गुरु महाराज गुरु जय जय
महाराज गुरु जय जय
साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
सत्य साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
ओम नमः शिवाय ओम नमः शिवाय ओम नमः शिवाय शिवाय नमः अरुणाचल शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुण शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुण शिव दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
दुस्तर भव सागर तरणम्
गुरु महाराज गुरु जय जय
महाराज गुरु जय जय
साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
साई नाथ सद्गुरु जय जय
ओम नमः शिवाय ओम नमः शिवाय 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 नमः
ॐ नमः शिवाय ॐ नमः शिवाय ॐ नमः शिवाय शिवाय नमः
अरुणाचल शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुणाचल शिव अरुण शिव
नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो पांडुरंग बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो साई सत्य साई बोलो
प्रेम साई शांति साई सत्य साई बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो
कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो
बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो
जोराष्ट्र महावीर यीशु साई बोलो
महावीर यीशु साई बोलो
अल्लाह साई बोलो मौला साई बोलो
साई बोलो मौला साई बोलो
अल्लाह साई बोलो मौला साई बोलो शांतिदाई सत्य साई बोलो
प्रेम साई शांतिदाई सत्य साई बोलो
गोविंद बोलो गोपाल 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 बोलो
सत्य साई बोलो
शिव शिव शंभो महेश गिरीशा
शिव शंभो महेश गिरीशा
शिव शिव शंभो महेश गिरीशा
शिव शंभो महेश गिरीशा
हर हर साई महादेवा
त्रिपुर संहारी
గదాధర పార్వతి రమణ,
గదాధర పార్వతి రమణ,
చంద్రకళాధర పార్వతి రమణ,
పార్వతి రమణ,
హర హర సాయి మహాదేవా,
హర హర సాయి మహాదేవా,
హర హర సాయి మహాదేవా, శివ శంభో మహేశ గిరీశా, హర హర సాయి మహాదేవా,
హర హర సాయి మహాదేవా,
నంది వాహన నాగభూషణ,
వాహన నాగభూషణ,
పాల లోచన త్రిపుర సంహారి,
లోచన త్రిపుర సంహారి,
పరమ పురుష శివ శంభో మహేశ గిరీశా,
జగదీశ్వరీ దయా కరో మా,
జగదీశ్వరీ దయా కరో మా,
జగదీశ్వరీ దయా కరో మా,
జగదీశ్వరీ దయా కరో మా,
శివ శంకరీ కృపా కరో మా, శంకరీ కృపా కరు మా,
శంకరీ కృపా కరు మా,
సాయీశ్వరీ రక్ష కరు మా,
సాయీశ్వరీ రక్ష కరు మా,
సాయీశ్వరీ రక్ష కరు మా,
సాయీశ్వరీ రక్ష కరు మా,
పరతీశ్వరీ భలా కరు మా,
శేష శయన నారాయణ, శేష శయన నారాయణ, వేదాభరణ నారాయణ, వేదాభరణ నారాయణ,
ವಿಶೇಷ ಶಯನ ನಾರಾಯಣ ವೇದಾಭರಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಭವಭಯಹರಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪಾವನ ಚರಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸಾಯಿ ಪಾವನ ಚರಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸಾಯಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ವಿಶೇಷ ಶಯನ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಹರೆ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಪತಿ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಶಿವ ಜನಾಶೀಕರ ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಾಣಪತೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಾಣಪತೆ ಆಶ್ರಿತ ಕಲ್ಪಲತೀಕಾ ಆಶ್ರಿತ ಕಲ್ಪಲತೀಕಾ ಆಪದ್ಬಾಂಧವ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ಮಾತಾ ಪಿತಾ ಗುರುದೇವ ಮರಿಯಂದಯು ನೀವೇ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮರಿಯಂತಯು ನೀವೇ ನಾದ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ನಾದ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ನಾಗೇಂದ್ರ ಶಯನ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ಓಂಕಾರ ರೂಪ ಉಜಸ್ವಿ ಸಾಯಿ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಮಂಗಳಹಾರತಿಯಂದುಕೊ ಬಂದರ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವಾ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು ಜಯ ಗುರು.